Is anyone else just constantly worrying? I feel like it can't just be me, but I feel like worry should be my middle name. But I have recently discovered Cover My Bubble. Cover My Bubble are a family insurance company who started their business in memory of their daughter. When Lilybeth passed away, they didn't have any insurance and lost Emma's income into the family, which was very difficult. They are here to help families with affordable insurances such as life, critical illness, income protection, children's cover and bump cover. Yep, children can be covered too. Now Emma loves a question, so why not reach out to her at Cover My Bubble and let her help you. Hello and welcome back to my podcast, Tits, Tums and All Things Mum. I am your host, Lottie, and I am here to normalise normal parenthood and to show everyone that really, we're all just winging it. Join me and my amazing guests to make sense of the chaos and work through motherhood together. Hello, and welcome back to Tits, Tums and All Things Mum. I am here with the lovely Dr. Gemma today. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm all right. Apart from the leg, I'm okay. You know, you've just got to crack on, haven't you, when you're a mum?
I know. You just have to suck it up and get on with it. Unfortunately, even if you want a duvet day, it's just not happening, yeah. Is it?
I mean, I had a duvet day yesterday because there was no way I could have looked after children. So thank goodness for my mother-in-law. But today I was like, okay, I've just got to crack on and just, you know, just do it. So here we are. But could you start by telling us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I'm Gemma. I'm an empowerment coach for mums. I support mums with breaking out of survival mode so they can find crystal clear clarity, confidence, joy and fulfillment so they can rediscover their purpose, their passion and their identity beyond motherhood in a way that's on their terms.
I absolutely love that. I am definitely all about those vibes. I am a person who is always striving for more and for having other things outside of being a mum. So I love that you do this. And your bio says you can be a fab mum and aspire for more. I saw a reel the other day and it was from an American TV program and it was two women arguing. One was saying you cannot be a mum and have a successful business, a successful career, or be successful in anything else. If you are a mum, that's your only thing. And the other woman was arguing against that. And it made me so freaking cross because I was like, I am a good mum. I also have a good career. I also like to think I'm a good friend, a good partner. So I'm like, no, I would have lobbed my coffee cup at that woman, I swear to God. But I think that we are quite often taught that it's either motherhood or a career. What are your kind of thoughts on that?
I'm totally in your camp when it comes to like two women arguing over this point, because I think especially with kind of generational conditioning and societal expectations of what a mother should be and what motherhood should look like, that's where that kind of external pressure comes from when it comes to feeling the guilt of having a career. And I think what you need to do first and foremost is define what success looks like to you, because it's going to be different for every single one of us. We're all individuals. And you can totally be an awesome mum, you can be a fully present mum in a way that works for you, but also have something outside of mother, like completely detached from motherhood. Because I know when I was setting up my coaching business, I just had my second baby, she was newborn, and I was finding like pockets of time to work on my business, whether it would be early in the morning, during nap time, kind of late in the evening, but those times I just relished because it was something for me. It's where I felt confident, I felt a value in a different way, completely detached from motherhood. I was reconnecting with my identity, my passion and what I love, and yeah, it really helped me thrive in those early kind of newborn days with my second baby. I sometimes say that my business saved my sanity, because it really did.
Yeah, sometimes I think, because I really struggled after my second child with kind of getting my identity back, and I started doing needle felting, which is like, it's really tricky, it takes a really long time, but it was just something to take my mind off of motherhood and something different. And I always say that I think that was the answer, something as simple as needle felting. But I think it's just doing something else that brings you joy, that kind of brings you out of just being mum.
Exactly that. And it can be the smallest of things. It can be the silliest of things. It can be the funnest of things, whatever it is that connects you back to self. And I think when we're kind of easing out those kind of hazy kind of newborn days, especially, and you do feel completely disconnected from yourself, just kind of finding pockets of time, it won't be a lot of time, but finding pockets of time just for you to do something that really brings you joy and fulfills you in a different way that motherhood doesn't. Like, I think there's this big pressure that motherhood has to be this wonderful, beautiful, fulfilling thing. But I know with the mums that I work with, motherhood doesn't fulfill them. Like, it's not, there's more to them. And like all mums, there's more to us than being just mum. And for some people, that's all they want to do, and that's perfectly fine. But I know for me particularly, I'm just not the kind of mum who can sit on the carpet and play with Duplo all day. Like, that's just not me. But I'm not that kind of mum. And kudos to you if that's you, like, brilliant. But that's not me.
Yeah.
I know a lot of the mums that I work with, that's not them either. Like, they need something for themselves.
Yeah.
So I think just connecting with something that really brings you joy can be so, so helpful. Yeah. And it can be the smallest of things that you do for yourself.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, like, your maybe career or job aspirations and goals from before having children might completely change. So things might be different, but that doesn't mean that you can't still have those things or be successful in those things. I remember, so I work in intensive care, and someone who left intensive care a good few years ago now actually said that I had ruined my career by having children. And I was like, how rude. But actually, things just changed, and I no longer wanted to progress up the ladder within nursing. I wanted to stay where I was in nursing, stay on the shop floor, as I call it, as in patient facing, rather than heading up into higher office based kind of roles. And I wanted my career to progress outside of nursing. So Instagram, podcasts, all of that stuff, which was more motherhood related. So one person's idea of what might be failing your career or ruining your career actually might be your idea of winning at life.
Exactly that. I mean, we're all different and we all want different things, and kind of taking an intuitive approach like you have. And I think motherhood really helps us strip back and kind of quieten down the noise on the things that actually we don't really want anymore in our lives. Yes, you birth a new human when you become a mum, but you also birth a new version of yourself, and you do start analysing your priorities, your career. Like, lots of mums kind of don't go back to their career because their priorities change and they want to spend more time at home with their children, but they still want something for themselves. So they kind of set up a side hustle or a small business or something. Like, you see a lot of that. I'm totally with you. I would say that, you're doing what's right for you and your family and what makes you happy. So you're winning at it.
I love that mums feel able to, once they've had children, set up these side hustles and these businesses to work around them and their lives. Like, I feel like there's such a negative culture around these businesses and side hustles, but I don't think that there's anything bad coming out of it. It's just allowing these mums to both be present in, school runs, sports days, all of that stuff, but also have their own independence, something that brings them joy, and be financially stable.
Totally. And I think society is really bad for celebrating martyrdom. to be a good mum, you have to be at the bottom of the priority list and your child must always come first. However, to be able to look after your child, you need to be looking after yourself too. Mm-hmm. Like, we always drop to the bottom of the priority list, but when you become a mum, we should be at the top of the priority list, or including ourselves in the same amount of care that we give to our children, because we need to be looking after them. And in order to do that, we need to look after ourselves too. And not because you're a mum, it's because you're human and because you deserve it. I think a lot of the messaging out there at the moment, the narrative tells us that in order to be a good mum to our children, we need to be looking after ourselves. And yes, we do. I totally agree. And I'm a big advocate of the ripple effect of self-care. Like, by looking after yourself, it's not just you that benefits, it's everything else that benefits. Everyone in your life benefits, because you're a better human when you look after yourself, right? You're nicer to be around. However, I think what we need to start recognizing is the fact that we need to be looking after ourselves because we're human. And we deserve it. And a byproduct of that is that we're able to look after our children much better, because we're not coming from a depleted state.
Definitely. I definitely think in generations to come, they're going to find it much easier to do that, because I feel like we're still kind of between generations of the martyrs that were very much like, I need to do this on my own and with no help, and I need to be at the bottom of the food chain and all of this stuff. But I think the up and coming generations are very much like about the self-care and thinking about looking after themselves. So I think we've just kind of got a bit of a rubbish end of the stick here, because we're stuck in the middle. But I do love that our children hopefully will benefit from what we're putting out there right now. But it's true, because I got a message yesterday when I talked about the fact that I was having a duvet day and that my mother-in-law had taken the children. I got a message on Instagram saying, when my kids were younger, when I was sick, I just had to get on with it. And I was like, cool, good for you. Well, I'm not. I'm going to have a duvet day because my mother-in-law's taken the kids. So that's good for you. And it's almost as if they were like, well, why should you have a duvet day? You've had these kids. You should be caring for them. But if you've got the help and you've got it there, why not take it?
Exactly. It's so important to ask for help. Like, I think we're so bad at doing that. And I think we fear other people's judgment by asking for help, but also we feel like we're failing in some way because we can't do it all. But we weren't supposed to do it all. We weren't supposed to carry this massive mental load of motherhood. We weren't supposed to do it all. And there's just so much going on. You know, you're juggling so many plates when you're a mom, and it's just not possible to do it all. So we do need help. And I think with our generation, it's very difficult because the community and kind of the villages that they used to have in the past, like living with the grandma be living in the house and, the cousins and all that kind of stuff. We just don't have that anymore. So it is quite difficult. And sometimes I'm quite bad at asking for help as well, because I've got four children. I've got 22-month-old twins, and I'm used to looking after like all four of them at the same time. But if I was to ask someone else to look after all four at the same time, who isn't used to it, because it is a lot of four children.
People even struggle to look after my two. So four, I just don't, like, usually I have to split my two off like in half and give one to one grandparent and one to another. So four, I don't even know.
Like, it just feels like I'm just asking a bit too much for someone to look after all of them. So sometimes if I do need childcare from family, I would ask my brother to take my eldest two out, who are 9 and 5, and then my mum will look after my twins, who are much younger. And that feels okay. That I'm okay with that. But like, there's always that kind of guilt there, and we shouldn't have guilt there. We all need help. And one of my kind of mantras since becoming a mum that I really connect with is, I can do anything, but I can't do everything.
I have that on my wall.
It's my favourite.
My daughter reads it all the time and she's like, I don't get it. I tried explaining it to her, but yeah. I have that on my wall because I love that one as well. It's definitely a mantra to live by as a mum, for sure.
Oh, totally. Like, I repeat it to myself, like, nonstop, especially in those testing moments where...
Yeah.
Like, the house is a complete mess. My children are demanding, like, for the 100th snack of the day. And, like, everything's just getting on top of me. Like, I can't do it all.
Would have failed much more if I kept my kids with me yesterday rather than having a duvet day, because by sending them off to my mother-in-law, they had a nice time, they went out for a walk in the woods, they played games. Like, my little boy came back absolutely covered in mud where he'd been playing in muddy puddles. If they'd have stayed with me, they'd have sat in front of the telly all day long and they'd have been bored. So, like, people would say, oh, you feel like you're failing if you're asking for help. I would have felt like I was failing if I kept them with me. So it's, I think you need to ask for it sometimes.
Yeah. And asking for help is not a sign of failure at all. In fact, in this day and age, it's a sign of, you know, bravery. It's courageous to ask for help. And it's just you making a conscious decision to take control of the situation before it controls you. Mm-hmm. And like you say, like, you have to weigh up the kind of situation of, if I, you know, like, in your, in the context of what you gave, when you had your duvet day, like, how's it going to work out? You know, is it best if they stay with me or if I ask for help and they go away with your mother-in-law? And obviously the results show, you know, the success of that. So that's amazing.
Yeah, exactly. But how on earth do we reconnect with our identities as mothers when we can't even get a second to figure out who we are or what brings us joy? I remember my therapist asking me what brings me joy, and I was about 3 or 4 months postpartum, and I was like, I have no idea.
I know it can be a tricky one. And I actually asked my client a few months ago, what brings you joy? And she was like, that's a really simple question, but actually it's really difficult to answer because she just didn't have a clue, because she's totally forgotten about herself and what lights her up, what makes her thrive. Mm-hmm. So we really kind of dug deep and went through a whole process of what's important to her, looking at her core values, and going quite deep and looking at what she used to enjoy as a child, what she used to enjoy before becoming a mum, and what little things she enjoys now. And it took a while to go through it, but we did pick out a few things that bring her joy and that she could do in this kind of postpartum period that were really easily accessible for her, because obviously you don't have much time in that period for yourself, let's be honest. But she enjoyed things like having a shower, right? That's like a really basic thing, but how can you elevate that experience? Use your favorite shower gel, like, you know, it doesn't sound like much, and yes, she deserves so much more time to herself. And I really hate that whole messaging of, oh, a shower isn't self-care, or going, like, doing the food shop alone isn't self-care. But if you're in the thick of it and that's all you've got, the only time that you've got to yourself, you know, Do it, enjoy it, you know? Yeah. And no one can tell you what your self-care is. If you enjoy a shower, enjoy your shower, you know? Yeah. I know when, especially with my newborn twins, like, my showers were like heavenly. Like, it was, it was the only time that I had to myself. I freshen up, feel a bit more human. Like, I love my showers. And yes, in that particular season, that's all I had. But as your children get older, more time opens up for you and you can do more things.
Yeah, definitely. Self-care for me is cleaning, and not a lot of people would say that because it's cleaning, but I love having a clean, not that you can tell right now because of the state of my house, but this is the aftermath of a solo dinner and bedtime. But I just love cleaning, tidying, DIY, anything like home related. And most people would see that as an absolute chore, but I love it. So it's really different for everyone.
It really is. I love a good clean. It's like therapy. I love a declutter. Well, that's why Mrs. Hinch got so big, because she was just kind of showing that cleaning is such a positive and inspiring thing to do. Like, it's really good for your mental health if you like that kind of thing. I'm very much impacted by my environment. So my internal environment is impacted by my external environment. And yes, I've got four kids, so my house is typically messy, but I do like to have a good tidy, and that just keeps me very grounded and connected to self as well.
Yeah, definitely. I remember when I was saying about my therapist, she made me look back to my childhood as well and the things that I enjoyed back then, and cleaning and tidying was one of them. But I also really loved spending time outdoors with my friends and also making up silly dance routines to like S Club Juniors. So I've incorporated that back into my life by doing like dance workouts and things like that, meeting up with my friends and going out actually dancing. There's not a lot of people out there, I don't think, that can go out to a nightclub completely sober and stay on the dance floor the entire night, but that is me. I love it. So I think sometimes it is about just remembering what brought you joy back when you were a child.
Yeah, and kind of implementing it like in a different way in adulthood, and really connecting to your inner child. And I think we do lose that sense of playfulness when we become an adult, and just kind of bringing that back in what little ways you can is such a massive and powerful thing.
Yeah, definitely. I had my cards read recently, actually, and they told me that I need to let my inner child out more and have more fun. I was like, okay, I'll take your word for it. Like, off I go to have fun.
Brilliant.
So funny. So next question. I am a self-proclaimed should mum. I hate it. And I think a lot of us probably are should mums. Most of my friends are, like, we'll voice note each other and my friend will be like, oh, I feel really bad. I should have done this. I should have done that. And I'm like, you're shoulding. Stop it. But then the next day I will should her and I'm like, oh, for God's sake. How do we stop with the shoulds?
Oh, it's such a difficult one because there's so many shoulds from society that are just put upon us, whether we want them there or not. And it can be so hard to tap out of that narrative, which is often quite negative. It can often feel very overwhelming and quite heavy. But one thing that's really helped me over the past couple of years is opting out of stuff that just that I don't have the energy for, that I just don't have the time for. And if I did that particular thing, it would actually impact my mental health and, you know, just would just be exhausting. So we had a busy week at school the other week where we had, I think, school photos, there was music concerts, there was parent consultations, there was a lot going on, but it was also World Book Day, and the kids could take in a book in a jar.
Like, had to do that as well.
I don't know what a book in a jar
I literally
would be
like. Have a book in a jar on my kitchen side that's full of glitter and princesses, and I'm like, oh, for crying out loud. I was not going to do it because it wasn't like a, you didn't have to do it. Yeah. And the night before it was due to go in, Bella came home and was like, Mummy, everyone's doing it. And it hit me right in the like guilt of like, no, Bella's going to go to school. All her friends are going to have done it. She's not going to have done it. And I feel bad. So we literally emptied the coffee out into a mug, like quickly washed it out and just filled the jar with glitter and princesses. And I was like, that's cool. That'll do. Just so that she had something. So I feel like I tried to opt out, but She hit me right in the mum guilt.
It's hard when they do that. But my kids didn't even mention it. Like, it went completely over their head. So I was quite lucky with that one that I could just opt out of that quite easily. But things like party invitations, like, you don't have to go to all the parties. And sometimes I don't even tell my kids about, like, the invite. Because a lot of parents just send the invites over WhatsApp these days rather than, like, a paper invite that gets handed to the child. So sometimes I don't tell them about
the party.
If it's just going to be a logistical nightmare, like if my husband's working and I have to take all four kids to this party, it's just not going to be a great experience. Yeah.
I quite enjoy the ones with my daughter because she's five. Yeah. So if my husband's home and he can have my son, I just go and sit and have coffee while she just does her thing. And I'm like, cool, this is nice. In fact, at a party that I went to a couple of months ago, they had sangria. I was I'm living my best life right now. Like, more parties like this, please. So sometimes I don't mind them. If they're, like, if I need to be involved in them, I'm like, oh, no, thank you. Otherwise it's like 2 hours of just sitting in peace and quiet.
It is. I have taken a book to a soft play party that my daughter was invited to, because she just went off with her friends into the soft play. So I just sat back from all the other parents, so I didn't engage in any conversation. Yes. Just with my book.
I do the same. I'm like, nobody talk to me. I'm just enjoying my peace and quiet. My daughter does gymnastics twice a week, actually, on a Tuesday and a Wednesday for 2 hours. And I have to go and sit there, and all of the other mums are like chatting, and I go and sit in a corner and I'm like putting my headphones in, and I'm just like, can nobody talk to me? And one of the dads actually said to my husband, is your wife okay? Like, she doesn't ever talk to anyone. And he's like, yeah, she just uses this as her time to like zone out. And I'm like, God, they must think I'm a bitch.
Completely antisocial.
Yeah, she just doesn't talk to anyone, that one. And I'm like, no, I don't. I just like my own peace and quiet, thank you.
I'm with you on that.
Sometimes we've just got to have some peace and quiet and make the most of it. So another thing you talk about on your page a lot is intentional living. Please, could you tell us a little bit about that?
Intentional living, for me, is all about kind of living with purpose, aligning your energy with what it is that you really want to do. So bringing more alignment into your life as well, and kind of stripping back the noise, stripping back everything that doesn't serve you, so you create more space for the things that do serve you and help you thrive. So being really intuitive with your approach to life. So just saying kind of no to everything that doesn't matter to you, and kind of confidently holding your boundaries and communicating those, and just being really empowered in yourself, and just knowing yourself really well and knowing what works for you to help you create this life that really is on your terms.
Honestly, if I could like disengage with anything, it would be like the school stuff, because I'm all about helping my kids to learn and to grow, but some of this stuff I'm like, what is this teaching them? What, recently on top of my microwave right now, I have got a tray garden, which is like a garden in a biscuit tin lid that she's had to make and take into school. And I'm like, really? Like, what? Like, we do gardening every year. What is this teaching her to do? I don't understand. And so it's those things that I would opt out of to try and make my time a bit more intentional.
Yeah, like the curriculum is the same from when my son was at school to my 5-year-old daughter's at school. And when my son was at school in year one, he learned about the five London, and over February half term, he had to create this Tudor house. Because I've been learning about Tudors and 500 and everything, and obviously I just stuck it in the recycle bin after he'd brought it back home again. He thinks it's in the garage.
I'm always like, yeah, it's in the loft. Yeah. She'll forget about it soon.
But come round again to when like my daughter's now in year one, she's had to do another Tudor house.
I'm like, oh, I just kept them in the garage.
I kept them, what, the one that my needed for my son. I was like kicking myself.
Yeah, I am not keeping the tray garden, not gonna lie. That's going straight in the bin as soon as it's done. Oh my God. Seriously though, like, how can we be more intentional when there's so many people that are forcing things upon us that I guess it is like a society thing still. Society has a lot to answer for, you know. Yes. It makes me cross. But how can we quieten the noise and be more intentional when there's so much kind of forced upon us?
I think sometimes, obviously, some things you can't get out of, like some things you just have to do, and sometimes you just have to suck it up. Yeah. Like with the school things. But I think just really thinking about what's important to you, what matters to you, how do you want to feel, is a big kind of navigator for me in terms of how I want to live my life or how I want to get through the week, and aligning everything to that feeling. And your core values are like your North Star. And once you have those in place, you can let everything that aren't and that isn't aligned with those just slip away. And I think just having a strong sense of self is very important in this, because once you have that, nothing else matters.
Yeah, I love that. I think because I've done some life coaching in the past, so I think I have a very clear idea of how I want to feel, what I want to achieve. So like blocking out the noise kind of becomes a little bit easier for me. Yeah. But then I think my cycle, my children, my sleep patterns, illness always has other ideas. And there's a week of the month, and I'm in it right now, where I'm like, fuck yeah, I can do everything. Like, let's conquer the world. And I feel very aligned with where I'm going. And then for the rest of the month, I'm like, oh, I want to be doing this, but I'm tired and I don't have any motivation. So I think it's so hard as mums and as women to keep aligned with those values.
Mm-hmm. Oh no, totally. Because like we have seasons, don't we, as we go through the month. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you do have those kind of spells where you're just on it and you're going for it, and like you're just like smashing it. But then you do have days, you have moments where you're not feeling too great, and you literally are in survival mode. Like, you're just getting through the good day, you're just ticking things off the to-do list. It's not very glam. You're exhausted and you're just doing what you have to do and going through the motions. Mm. And I think when you are in those moments, like, that's okay. Like, don't put too much pressure on yourself. Be passionate and kind to yourself, because I think when you are not feeling great, that's when your inner critic turns up its volume and kind of telling you that you're crap, you're not good enough, you're not doing enough, you're failing at everything, you're not a good mum. Mm. But actually, you're a brilliant mum and you're just human. Like, we're not going to be tip-top 100% all the time. Like, we have
everything. I so wish I was. I would have achieved so much if I was. If this week of the month continued throughout the year, I would literally have achieved so much. But it's 1 week of the month and I'm like, god damn it, why is it not the other way around, like 3 weeks of the month? Annoying. Our cycles drive me insane, honestly.
I know, but it's so important to work with it though. Like, don't put too much pressure on yourself when you're having one of your kind of lull kind of weeks. You don't have as much energy, because otherwise that's when your inner critic's going to turn up its volume. That's when you feel really bad about your productivity and all that kind of stuff. And just talking to yourself with a kinder voice can be such a rewarding and beautiful thing to help you through those moments.
Yeah, definitely. Do you know what? Something I've learned massively since doing this podcast is to track your cycles and to work around them. And if anyone takes away things about your cycles, is that, like, go away, learn about it, track them and work with it. Because I now plan the majority of my podcasts, the majority of my like big things that I need to do on this like what I call the fuck yeah time. And then the rest of the time, I plan a lot of like self-care nights, mm-hmm. Maybe like movie nights with friends, just like the nice, cozy, comforting things, rather than things that require a lot of energy, a lot of thinking, a lot of productivity. And it's really, really helped me. So definitely go out there and have a read about your cycles and stuff like that.
That's so brilliant. And I love that, because that's you being intentional with your energy and taking an intuitive approach to how you live your life, which is just brilliant.
Yeah, I'm trying. But yeah, sometimes the kids have other ideas anyway. But in terms of self-care, I think it is often so difficult to get self-care in as a mum, because especially if you've got young babies, there's only tiny little pockets of time throughout your day. So how do you think can we bring more self-care into our lives without feeling guilty that we're, you know, leaving our kids in front of screens or anything like that?
I think if you are time poor and you don't have lots of pockets of time throughout your day, focus first and foremost on the basics. So making sure that you're having a shower, making sure that you're staying hydrated, making sure that you're eating nourishing food that you enjoy, going to the toilet where you need to go instead of holding it.
No, that's such a simple thing, but most mums do not go to the toilet when they need the toilet.
Exactly.
Like, I don't know why. It's ridiculous. If my husband needs a poo, he's gone within like seconds and he's in there for like 45 minutes. If I need a wee, I'm literally dancing in the kitchen, like right up until I'm about to pee myself. And I'm like, why do we do that? It's ridiculous.
I don't know, but that's, again, a basic form of looking after yourself and you showing up for yourself, making sure that you get a good quality sleep. I mean, when you're in those newborn days, or if you just have a child that just doesn't sleep, that can be very difficult, but making sure that you get the best, even if you get a couple of hours, making sure that's the best couple of hours in terms of quality, is another thing. And then when more time starts to open up for you, then you can build in the other things like meditation or journaling or, I don't know, going for walks, exercise, whatever it is that you want to do and what really brings you joy. But focusing on those basic things first and foremost is really important, because that's reminding you that actually you are deserving of your own care. It's building that self-worth up, and you will, if with repetition, you will actually put yourself at the top of that priority list and include yourself in that care that you give so freely to other people, to your children and to your loved ones. And then you can start kind of layering up the on the other things. And I think self-care, it's a bit of a kind of buzzword. It's, you know, we see the kind of commercialized versions of self-care being the bubble baths and the spa days and the holidays and all that stuff and the Instagram perfect images. But sometimes self-care is stuff that you really don't want to do. Like, it can be ugly. It can be, I don't know, consolidating your finances. It can be leaving a toxic friendship or a relationship. It can be setting boundaries, which can be very kind of stretchy and uncomfortable. It's not all pretty and all glam. It can be the simplest thing as well. It doesn't have to be time consuming. It doesn't have to be expensive. It can be whatever it is that you want it to be.
Yeah, I remember when I first had my second child, the only self-care that I was able to do once my husband had gone back to work was just being able to stop and do some deep breaths for like 10 seconds. And that was literally it. But I was like, okay, I'm going to do it. Like, you're safe. You're over there. I'm going to take some time, do some deep breathing, try and reset my nervous system. And that was my self-care. And I think I then built up from there, like, okay, I'm going to make a tea and I'm going to actually drink it hot. And you just kind of build up, don't you, from very, very small little bits of self-care throughout the day to those bigger things like, you know, time with your friends or whatever, a movie night with your husband.
Exactly. And whether you've got 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 30 minutes, you can never underestimate the power of investing your own energy and time back into yourself. Like, it's just so rewarding and so so positive. And when you fill your cup back up, and when you're not operating from a depleted state, which serves no one, it doesn't serve you, it doesn't serve your loved ones, everything feels just that little bit easier to navigate. So when your children are being testing and they're having a moment, like they always do, you just feel like better in control of your emotions. So you're not so shouty, and you're not coming from a frazzled state. Everything feels like it's more kind of on a level kind of playing field, and you're more in control of the situation.
Yeah, definitely. And I think by giving yourself self-care, you're teaching your children that they can do that for themselves as well. Like my daughter, she's always taking herself away. She's like, I just need a minute to myself. And she'll just go and sit in her little reading nook and just sit with a book or something. And I'm like, I love that she's learned that from me. And moving forward in life, she's going to be able to recognize when she needs self-care.
I love that so much. It's about breaking that cycle, isn't it? Because we do live in a society that rewards kind of hustle culture, kind of working around the clock, not taking breaks. But rest is productive. Like, it's one of the best things that you can do for yourself. And by modeling that to our children, we are breaking that generational conditioning that says that our value is connected to our productivity when rest is actually productive. So yeah, that's brilliant, because we do model to our children, and if they take that from us, that's such a wonderful gift.
Yeah She also loves a hot bubble bath and just sits there with like a flannel over her head and just lays, and I'm like, you're hilarious, you're like a little mini me, because I love a bath as well. On that note, would you mind telling everybody where we can find you on social media?
Sure, you can find me over on Instagram, where I spend far too much time. I am trying to reduce my time over there and be more intentional with my Instagram usage. But I am _dr.gemma over there.
Lovely. Well, thank you so much for coming on. This has been a really lovely episode, and I hope it's going to help so many mums out there.
Thank you so much for having me on. I've really enjoyed it.
Thank you so much for listening. As always, could you please subscribe, download, and leave a review? And I would absolutely love it if you could share my podcast with your friends. I'll see you for the next episode.